All right, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter number 6. All right, Genesis in chapter number 6. Now, if you had started, how many has started a Bible reading class church-wide? How many has started a Bible reading schedule this year? All right, several folks. All right, so you are past this, I hope. All right. If you started January 1st, you are well past this. If you started like we did in our Sunday school class, we started a little bit late. We started last week. However, we're still past Genesis chapter number 6. So we've all been through this, and we all know the story, amen? And so I hope it'll be a help to you this morning. We're going to read in Genesis chapter number 6, verses number 1 through 8, all right? Genesis chapter number 6, verse 1 through 8. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture to you. And so let's all stand. Let's read this. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to preach, all right? Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and they became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created, and from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'll preach a message entitled this morning, The Storm Clouds Are Forming. The storm clouds are forming. Knowing the days are approaching when the Son of Man will come, you and I believe we must be prepared, amen? We must be prepared. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning as a church house, a body of believers. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use this passage of Scripture to light a fire under us, Lord. Sometimes we need to be kicked on the backside to realize a reality that Jesus is coming again. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Everybody needs motivation every now and then, amen. I mean, we need to be encouraged. We need to be pushed a little bit. One person said this, don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. Amen. I practice that many times, and I push the lawnmower. All right? And it's not so bad when you ride the lawnmower, but when you push it, it is. Especially one that doesn't have them self-prepared things. I'm cheap. I get mine at a garage sale. The ones that nobody wants. That's the ones I get for about $5, and they last me about 3 years. But I don't like to push. But I'm glad when it's all done, amen? We all need motivated. We all need to be enlightened. We all need to be encouraged. When you come to this passage of Scripture, that's exactly what it does. When approached with a question, a number of individuals in a group were asked this. Now, they both considered of Christian and non-Christian individuals. They were asked a question in which both of them gave somewhat identical answers. The question was this, what is your favorite story in the Bible? Your favorite account in the Bible? Without much hesitation, both groups began to chime with almost one accord, Noah and the ark. It's not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture or a story, or I would say an account of Scripture. Most people know somewhat about Noah and the ark. Praise the Lord for Brother Ken Ham, as he created the ark encounter just south of Cincinnati. What a joy. How many's ever been there? If you've not been there, let me encourage you to go. You will be awestricken, not in just the size, but everything of all the details within that ark that man, we really don't think about, but what was common in those days. And Noah, of course, it took him a while to build it, did all these things. And so when you go there and realize the magnitude of that ark, you'll realize and understand the significance and how detailed God was and really the work that Noah had to put into it. But they said Noah and the ark was our answer. And he said, well, why? He followed up with a question. Why is it Noah and the ark? And they said, because it's a picture of joy. Kind of seemingly astounded, a picture of joy. They said, yeah, you know, with the rainbow and the dove and a picture of joy. Because anytime you see the ark, maybe as a caricature or a cartoon or a mural on the side of a nursery, you know what it shows? It shows a white bearded man. Nothing wrong with that, amen? You have to encourage my wife. I think she's going to dope me and make me sleep for about an hour, and she's going to shave this thing off. It'll come off one day. It will. Probably in my funeral. Y'all won't know who it is. But you see this white-haired bearded man and his wife and little sheep playing and a little elephant over here and a giraffe poking his head out the window, you know, the highest window there in the ark. And you got in the background blue skies, a few clouds, and a beautiful rainbow in the back. Do you not? That's normally what we think of. But what took place in order for that to get there? You see, the picture of Noah and the ark, that story, it reveals, I suppose, a portion of joy at the end. But it reveals much more than that. It reveals about God's wonderful grace that was extended to all mankind to the degree where he was patient toward those that had opportunity. But unfortunately, that grace was only applied, not that he didn't have it to be applied, but it was only applicable to the eight that went in. So when you ask about the picture of Noah and the ark, it is more than just grace. Although grace is wonderful, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:2, which sometimes were obedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. But yet during that time, God waited, did he not? He waited for those individuals to come to the ark. He waited for those, as Noah preached. No doubt he preached about what was about to take place, but nobody came. So when you come to the picture of the ark, it's a picture of condemnation. When you come and read about the ark, it's a picture of condemnation. It's a picture of disappointment. As the Bible says in verses 6 and 7, it repented the Lord that he made them. Now, the word repent doesn't mean the same as what we do when we repent, to turn away from a sin, to turn away from a transgression. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it grieved him or made him sorry for what man had become. He says here that it grieved him at his heart and repented that he made them. And so therefore, he was going to destroy them, almost like a potter. You know what happens when a potter, after he is done making and forming what he was going to do out of clay, he steps back. He takes a look at it, and he may realize, this is not what I was looking for. This is not, didn't come out the way I was thinking. So what does he do? He takes that piece of pot, he takes that bowl, or he takes that vase, and he goes ahead, and he breaks it up, he breaks it back down, he puts it back in the water, he molds a new one, doesn't he? That's what God said I want to do. You see, man didn't come out the way I expected it to. Man went away from me instead of coming to me. So therefore, I'm going to destroy it and I'm going to start over. Now, God, knowing, as the Bible says, before the foundation of the world began, that Jesus was to be the Savior of all sinners, he even knew the second time around, man wasn't going to get any better. But he did it anyways. You see, the picture is a picture of the alienation from God's creation against his lordship. It's a picture of last chance. Do you realize that? It's a picture of destruction and utter devastation upon all flesh. As we approach this scripture, I think we need to notice how far man has come up to this point. You say, preacher, it's only been like 6 chapters of the Bible. Oh, yeah, but you know how many years have taken place in those 6 chapters? You find in Genesis chapter 3, life begins with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had been created in chapter 2. In chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin in the garden. And later in that chapter, they are cursed and sent out, released from the garden. Because of their transgression of what God told them not to do, they decided to go ahead and do it. So then Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that Adam and Eve sinned against God. Then they were released from the garden, and a curse came to every man upon after them, and not just man, but it came upon the earth too. You gardeners, you realize that, don't you? That's where your thistles and crabgrass and all this stuff comes from. It comes from the curse. If you didn't have the curse, you'd have a garden that make your neighbor jealous. But it's because of the curse. It's because of what took place in Genesis chapter number 3. You come just one chapter later. Adam and Eve have a couple children. In Genesis chapter 4, you'll find that there are 2 children, Cain and Abel. People, young men that grew up in a godly home. Young men that worshipped under their father. Young men that were taught by their dad how to worship God. And yet, one out of the 2 decided to go astray. One out of the 2 said, I can do better and make it better if I just sacrifice God in my own way. And we all know that that didn't work. He got upset. He got angry. He got jealous of his brother because Abel's sacrifice was accepted of the Lord and Cain's wasn't. So in Genesis chapter number 4, you'll find the first murder taking place. The first murder taking place because of what the worship that Cain had opposed to Abel. You'll find just a few verses after that Lamech, which is the great, great, great grandson of Cain. His great, great, great grandson, Lamech, out of anger and because of the sin of their great, 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 great grandfathers, because he got upset with a young man and murdered him. So now it's not just because of being jealous. Now hatred has come into the play over these courses of years and over this time in just a few generations. In chapter 6, read here with me in chapter 6 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them that the sons of God, meaning the line of Seth. Now, who is Seth? Well, Seth is the third son of Adam and Eve. You have Cain, you have Abel. Abel had died. Now you have Seth. Well, Seth is a godly line. So now you have the sons of God, which would mean the line of Seth. And it says here, and it came to pass in verse number 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Well, who would that be? That would be the line of Cain. That would be the lineage or the offspring of Cain. Now you have to understand that Cain's line grew quicker than Seth's line. Cain's line practiced polygamy and wife after wife after wife, and they were populating the earth like no man's business, whereas Seth's line was being monogamous, one woman, one wife, and having a family and go on and so on. So his line wasn't as large, but when Seth's line saw that the daughters of Cain, the line of Cain, they were beautiful, they were gorgeous, they were sensuous. The Bible talks about them being beautiful to look upon. They were fair. They were enticing. They were sensual. They were provocative. I'm going to tell you, men, you better be careful, because it doesn't take much for a man's eye to stray. Yeah. Listen, don't be ashamed about it. It happened back in Genesis, and you realize how far back that was? That was about 6,000 years ago. That it still is a problem today as it was then. And the bad thing is that women haven't changed either. Now, I'm not saying our ladies here, but I'm saying women in general know that they have a way with men. You read the book of Proverbs and it'll talk all about it. And so the line of Seth seen these sensual, provocative women. And the Bible says that they took all the wives. They took upon them wives, which they chose. They just started grabbing them one after the other. And so now you'll find that God's Spirit is not going to strive. He gives them an ending. He gives them an ultimatum. And verse number 5, you'll find the very unfortunate conclusion. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination, every thought, every part of his heart was evil, not just part of the time, not just half the time or 75% of the time, but it was evil all the time. 100% it was evil. And so because of that, 2,000 years took place from the time Adam and Eve fell to the time chapter 6, verse number 5 is written. 2,000 years, give or take. 2,000 years have taken place from Genesis chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 6. 2,000 years have gone by. Well, how do you figure that? All the descendants, all the lines, it'll tell you there, so-and-so lived 800-some years. So-and-so lived 900-some years. So-and-so lived this many years. And so you know they overlapped a little bit. So approximately 2,000 years have gone by, and the wickedness of man has astronomically risen from the time it started way back in the garden. Might I say this? 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus Christ was here upon this earth. Now, do you think that the wickedness of man is only evil continually today? I believe so. I really believe so. I believe man in his own heart has become very wicked. And if God said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And if 2,000 years was from the time Adam to the time of Genesis chapter 6 to the time now 2,000 years from the time Jesus was born to now, do you not think the storm clouds are coming? Do you not believe that the storm clouds are starting to become forming over the horizon? I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe that he could come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Without a doubt, he can come at any time. Are you ready? During this time, when Noah found grace in the eyes of God, he told Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood, this wood, which is a hard wood, that I want you to build it, I want you to strengthen it, I want you to form this ark. And so he builds this ark. Now, it didn't take him just a year. It didn't take him a couple years. It took him about 100 years to build this. 100 years to build this. Now, I'm sure he had his boys helping him. He may have had some other men help him. You don't know that. But I do know that he preached to them. I do know that he told them what was coming. I do know that he warned them what was about to take place, something that they never heard of, something they never seen. But listen, my friend, I've never seen God come back in a cloud either, but I know he's coming, amen? He's coming one day. And so you'll find that the Lord, he's telling them that you better be ready because he's coming. Go with me in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. All right? First book of the New Testament, Matthew, chapter number 24. And you read with me just a few verses in verse number 32. Matthew, chapter number 24 and verse number 32. Now, if you have read another Bible, who's speaking here? Can you tell me? Christ is speaking, correct? Amen? You all agree with that? So the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, is speaking in this passage. And he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. I tell you what, I cannot wait for the trees to start budding. Amen? I don't mind the snow. I really don't. I told my wife, I like it when it snows, when I have to put a hat and glove on. But I don't like wintertime when it's just kind of cold. You know, it's in hovering in them 30s and 40s, and it's really not cold. I like stuff when crunching under my feet. That's what I like, ice and all that. That's kind of winter I like. But boy, I tell you, I like when summer, when springtime comes. I love when you start seeing the green shade on the trees. You know summer's coming when the trees start budding, amen? You know it's just a ride around the corner. Hey, it hadn't come yet, but you know it's coming. So that's what he's saying. So likewise, verse 33, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now they're talking about the things that he talked about earlier, but this generation, what generation is he talking about? He's talking about the Jews and the Gentile generation. He's saying the Jews and the Gentile will continually exist until the Son of Man comes. You see how you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible says in Luke 21:24 says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, in that, the Jews always will exist and so will the Gentiles. Now, in this portion of Scripture, some would say, well, they're looking at the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. They're looking at what's about to take place in the near future. Oh, not just that, but if you would read, I've been reading about the history of Israel or the history of the Jewish nation. Not just Israel itself, but the history of the Jewish nation. And my friend, you would be astounded of what the history of the Jewish nation is and all that they have gone through. Not just a verbal ridicule, but the millions that have been slain because of who they are. And God said that you're going to have wars and rumors of wars, and you're going to have all the... We've had wars, amen. We've had pestilence, haven't we not? We may not see the full gamma of what the tribulation period is going to take place, but my friend, we've had these things. And he said, now you understand when you see these signs, the Son of Man's coming. Look with me in verse number 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the day of the Lord, an hour, knoweth no man. No, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, how were the days of Noah? Well, if you read the same Bible that I do, it said they were wicked. And every part of their heart, every imagination, every thought was wicked continually. Now, it doesn't take a rocket science to turn on the TV and realize that our country's wicked. It doesn't take a mature individual to realize that our world's a wicked world. But my friend, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm saying that the clouds are starting to form when he steps out. I'm saying the clouds are starting to roll around. And he says, look in verse number 38. And as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Look here. Then two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come. The storm clouds are forming, they're coming. We watch the weather constantly. How many watch the weather for today? Amen. A few of you. I could have told you what it's going to do. It's going to snow. Right? It's going to be chilly out. We watch the weather. Because we have activities, we have things we are planning for. When we go on vacation, about a month before we go on vacation, we start to watch the weather. You can get a month of weather, although it changes every day. All right? You just kind of look, and maybe just by happen chance, it's going to be a good week when you're there. You already got it reserved. You can't change the time. You're just hoping and praying that God will give you a good week. So we watch the weather. Well, you watch the weather, prepare every day what you're going to do. But yet we don't watch out for the Lord and prepare for His coming. We may prepare for the day of weather, but I think we all look up a little farther than that, amen? We all look up and because our redemption draweth nigh. Look beyond the weather. Look beyond the clouds and see the one coming in the clouds. I tell you what, the storm clouds are rising. But praise God, there's grace. In chapter number 6 and verse number 8 back there in the book of Genesis, unlike verse number 8. It's almost like the little needle in the haystack. It's there. Sometimes it's hard to find. You may miss it. But boy, is it a gem. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, no matter how wicked this world is, no matter how dark it seems, grace is still here. Amen. Grace is still available to everyone. And I am grateful that grace is here for you and me. We may not need an ark today, but we certainly do need grace, don't we? Ephesians 2:8 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." You know, it was by grace that I'm saved. It's by grace that you're saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God," Paul says, "I am what I am." Thank God for that. Thank God that I am not what I was and not what I should have been, but I am what I am because of the grace of God. Some of us would have been down and out. Some of us would have been in jail. Some of us would be divorced. Some of us would be outcast. But by the grace of God, we are who we are. And God's changed us since then. Amen. He's changed a 16-year-old teenage boy that God called him out. And I didn't change right away. I didn't change very fast, but by God's grace and by His patience, He's changed me. And I thank the Lord for that. So nobody is beyond being changed by the grace of God. It's just sometimes we just need to be patient with them. Amen. And let God do the work. But Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Galatians 1:15 says, and called by His grace. I'm glad that I'm called by His grace. I am called to be a minister. I'm called to be a servant. I am called to be a son. And that's only because of His grace as He's extended for you and me. How many are glad about that grace that God's extended to you? Amen. Praise the Lord. You have a home in heaven. One day you and I might be neighbors in heaven. I don't know. I was telling our Sunday school class about the mansions in the house of God. It's a big cube. That's what that is. It's 4x4x4. It's a big square apartment building that you and I are going to be in. You go in the book of Revelation, you'll find the measurements. I told the class, I thought it was 1,000 miles by 1,000 miles by 1,000 miles, but I'm not sure what it is. But all I do know, it's going to be big. And you and I have a home in there. And it's only because of the grace of God that we do. Titus 3:7 says, "There that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You know, for 100 years, while Noah pounded those nails, for over 100 years, while Noah cut the wood and forming that intricate work on the ark, for 100 years, while Noah preached unto them of the coming flood and how God said that the earth will be broken up and water is going to come out from the earth and come down from the sky, for 100 years, while he steadied that ark by poles, jabbing them into the ground and keeping that ark straight up while he worked on it, while he pitched it within and without, for 100 years, while he gathered food, that grace of God was being made available to everybody there. But all they had to do was to go through that one door, through the ark. And only 8 people went. Isn't that a shame? The grace of God, the storm clouds begin to come. I don't know about you, but in summertime, I can smell a storm. You know what I'm talking about? You can smell that storm coming. Especially when it hits that hot pavement. Boy, now you can really smell that old rain. And I don't know what if that does anything to you, but to me it brings back a lot of memories. Memories camping, memories at home, and was watching it come from the west across the railroad track where my parents' house is at, right on 25A north of here, and their house faces direct west, and we watch that storm come across the fields as it makes its way. We see about a half mile or so down to the next house and see it come across the railroad track, and the wind begins to pick up and you can begin to smell it. You know it's coming. You know it's coming and you're waiting for it. You see the lightning in the background. You hear the thunder rolling and you know it's coming. And I tell you what excitement that is. A Christian ought to be excited knowing that the cloud forms are beginning to roll in, and one day Jesus is going to come again. We ought to be so excited about that and looking forward to that. I don't know. Sometimes we think, well, if he comes, he comes, you know. I'm here, you know, no matter what, if he comes. He knows where I'm at, I hope. He does. But we ought to be excited about it. Ought to be so excited we ought to tell somebody else about it. This is just a little over a year ago, about 10:30 at night, I believe it was, 10:30 at night, that we didn't know what was happening. Had no idea. It was dark out. The siren began to go off. Town siren. It was in January. Tornado. The siren began to blow. Those that heard the siren, those that understood the warning sign of what was about to come, took shelter. I believe our kids were, a couple of kids were with us that very night. And I reprimanded them. Because I think I went to bed early that night, if I recall. And they were in the basement. I was in bed. I didn't hear the siren. They all get down there in the basement. We got a closet that's in the basement under the stairwell. There's a closet under there. They all kind of gathered around there, having a little fellowship. And you know what they say? Where's Dad? I don't know. Nobody got him. And then, you know, I'm thinking there's a tornado. You had to make sure you got the dogs. And I think I made this clear that last time I told the story, they didn't bring my motorcycle down the basement. That's priority over dogs. I'm sorry. But that warning sign went off. And in just a few short moments, straight line winds came. I don't know what they were, 100 mile an hour or 90 mile an hour, that came through our section of Troy. And I remember when it was all over, the devastation just at that short moment took. Trees were down. My tree, it was a little, it was a procrastinating tree. It leaned for a while, then the next day decided to fall on my neighbor's house. But anyways, there were a lot of trees down in old homes and in the roadways. I remember a tree fell on a transformer behind someone's house, just sparking green smoke around and just smell of sulfur, just unbelievable. And in just a few moments it happened, but we were warned. God's warning us. The storm clouds are forming. God's stepping out. The Lord Himself will come. But my friend, it will not be the smell of a summer rain. It will not be the sound of a tornado siren that's going to warn us. It won't be a warning. He's just coming. The Bible says that with a mighty shout and with a momentous call of a trumpet, God will come. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. My friend, God's already given us the warning. He's already shared with us the things that are going to take place. He's already said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. My friend, the days are wicked today, and God is about ready to step out on the cloud, and the trumpet's about to sound. The question is, are you ready? Boy, I hope so, church. I hope so. God's coming, and the moment he comes is the moment the door is shut. As God closed the door at Noah, when that first raindrop began to drop, he closed that door. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? It wasn't that the ark just floated away right away. No. It rained. It rained again another day. It rained that old next night. It rained and rained and rained enough until finally that 400 and almost 450 foot ark, 50 some feet wide, so many feet high, 75 or 80 feet high, whatever it is. It took a while for that ark to begin to float. But while Noah and his family was on that ark, they heard the cries and the screams of every individual, every woman, every boy and girl, every man that tried to claw their way onto the ark. Floating with a piece of wood in order to maybe get higher up to a ledge, but they never got there. You see, the account of Noah and the ark isn't really an account of joy. It's an account of destruction. What will take place when you don't trust Christ? When you don't trust God and take upon yourself the grace that God has bestowed upon you to accept it. You say, preacher, I don't want to be destroyed. Neither do I. Say, preacher, I mean, if I was there and heard the screams and the cries, I'd have to stop my ears. I have to scream to the top of my lung to drown out what their screams are. Could you imagine hour upon hour upon hour telling them to let them in, clawing, trying to grab a hold of something. And yet, every 2,000 years of generations are now floating in the water. I wonder how many Noah had to bury. I wonder how many Noah came across on his journey in the new land. You see, there's a short window that I believe is left. And it may only be today. It may only be this year. Jesus said, the day and the hour, I don't know. But I do know, dear friend, that the tree's budding and the storm clouds are forming. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? If not, you need to be.